It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
My country. Sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrims. On every mountainside, let freedom ring.
Stay with me. That's Trace Atkins. Let's listen. Stay listening. That was the Capitol Four's PBS last night, the Mall of the Capitol with the fireworks behind Trace. Let's listen to the end. Should have seen it. You should have seen it. It was the Capitol Fourth last night on PBS, which I always love. It's the best way, to me, to celebrate the 4th of July, not to replace any of your activities with friends or any of the things you're doing, but last night was particularly powerful. John Stamos was the host. It's the first time he's done it, to my knowledge. He did an excellent job. The Beach Boys sang, the Blues Brothers. Dan Aykroyd came out and Jim Belushi came out filling in for his brother John, who, of course, died several years ago. Jim cannot sing, by the way, but it was hilarious. They were dressed like the Blues Brothers, and just there was just a lot of fun to be had. There were Disney performers, beautiful voices whose names I don't know, but they sang beautifully. And, of course, the Armed Forces has the most marvelous musicians, and they featured several of them. They featured a lot of wounded warriors, as they always do. The National Symphony Orchestra, which is the creme de la creme, played Tchaikovsky's 1812 Overture before the fireworks started. And, of course, it made me laugh because I thought, well, here we are, Russian collusion. It's Tchaikovsky's 1812 Overture while we have fireworks. This must be a plot by the Trump administration. But it was very patriotic, more so than any other year I've watched it. I don't know if they had a different producer or what, but it was just wonderful. And if we can find a link to it, I could not find it earlier this morning yet, we will put this on our Facebook page. Because really, honestly, this would be great for your kids to see, great for you to see. The people on the mall dressed, you know, so it was real people. And by the way, while I am chatting about this, I would love, just for the next few minutes, and it is just a few minutes, to talk to you, because there's this headline from Yahoo News. Americans celebrate 4th of July with leisure and gluttony. So I'm thinking, is that what you did? Did you celebrate with leisure and gluttony? I have a feeling there's more to say. So did you see something special? And how did you celebrate? How did you celebrate? If you were talking to the writer of this article about how all Americans just celebrate with leisure and gluttony, what would you have said? Our phone number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Let's just kind of explore here what the truth is, because I know that many of you celebrated it very meaningfully. There was another celebration that we, on television last night, that we flipped back and forth with. It was a celebration in New York City, and it was J-Lo, and I can't even tell you the names because we didn't spend that much time with it, but it was girls dressed in not very many clothes, you know, doing all kinds of vulgar dances on the stage with vulgar lyrics. There was a lot of talk about you can be what you want to be, you can change who you are, sort of like fill in the blanks, maybe transgender, perhaps. A lot of, and this was the big celebration in New York City. And of course, they had great stars, great talent. But it was I just thought the contrast. They had young girls, you know, standing in front, jumping up and down with their banners. I just realized, you guys, I'm going to have trouble getting these phone calls. Hang on a minute. We have a little transition with our software here, so I may have to have your help. But anyway, our phone number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Did you do something besides leisure and gluttony to celebrate the 4th? Because the Yahoo News thinks that's what it's all about, gluttony and leisure. And maybe they, you know, tuned into last night's performance out of New York City thinking that's the real celebration. You know, one of the things they said on the New York celebration was, freedom. It's about me doing anything I want to do. I can do anything I want to do. And I posted yesterday, again, I have a private Twitter account. Sometimes I put things on that you might not see on our official Facebook page. But the point is, of course, that the freedom that our founders had in mind and that they laid down for us was not freedom to do just anything you want. It was the freedom which was restrained by personal responsibility. And for the founders, it was religion and morality. Those were the things that were to inform us. But I want to take, let me go right here to Donna in Texas. Good morning, Donna. What did you guys do yesterday?
Good morning, Sandy. I don't know if you remember, I called back probably a few months ago and said I'm a displaced girl from Virginia.
I do remember. Texas. I do remember.
Okay. Well, I'd say I was really happy to hear that the Beach Boys were at the mall because growing up in the Washington area, my parents used to take us to watch the fireworks, and we'd listen to the military bands and watch the fireworks in a very, very special place in America. And this morning I heard what you said about these columnist and what this person wrote, and I thought, well, you know, I think they missed the big picture, and that is the patriotism that we Americans feel on Independence Day, the fact that we know the sacrifices that went in to make this country free and the sacrifices that are ongoing so that we can continue to enjoy our liberty and freedom. I spent the day watching in a place where, by the way, Belton, Texas happens to be one of the top 10 places to be on Independence Day because we have a Belton parade. And after the parade, I spent some time catching up with my adult children and grandchildren. We had a wonderful picnic. And then we went over to the Fort Hood area to watch the magnificent firework display Central Texas. So it was a blessed, blessed day for the Kelly and Onya Benny family and for many Americans. And I just want to say thank you for offering up the opportunity to let us preach loudly from the tallest mountaintops how blessed we are as a nation to have our liberty and freedom in 241 years.
Yeah, Donna, beautifully said. Thank you very, very much. Thank you. You know, I do think that in D.C. there's a more intimate knowledge, more intimate feeling in general about the 4th of July, because there's so many people in the military, and they're all, the wounded warriors, so many of them are in the hospitals there. And there's family. There are people who, you know, members of Congress, some of them were at the concert last night. There's more of an urgency, more of a sense. The further you get from the Beltway, sometimes the harder it is to have that sense of urgency. But I know I'm not, Donna just explained in detail why in certain areas of the country there is this passion for the country still. I did think that celebration was much more of an uptick from the past ones. Sometimes they're kind of cynical. This one was not. I just felt it was an unabashed celebration. But enough of me. Let me go to Kathy in Ohio. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning, Sandy. I talked to you about a year ago. It was, I believe, on July 5th. I was so discouraged because I had attended a parade here in a community in Ohio, and there was no color guard. There was not one veteran in the parade. And I went to City Hall, complained, and they were nonchalant about it. So I think I called you and I said, next year's going to be different. Well, this year was different. We got banners that said, freedom isn't free. We contacted veterans. We had a busload of veterans from a retirement community in the parade. And I want you to know, we passed out the American flag, and the people stood and clapped their hands as these veterans went by. And it gave us so much hope that there are many in America who still love this country and have hope for this country. And I just wanted to let you have an update on that.
Oh, that's very cool, Kathy. Listen, God bless you for that. You know, isn't this living proof that one person can make like a tremendous difference? You know, sometimes we just feel helpless, but we're not helpless. Sometimes just one person, like someone like you who had a passion for that, I'm sure you had a lot to do with how that turned out yesterday. So, and you did something that kids will remember. You'll never know the impact that it had. But I think God probably laid that on your heart. It's not, people might raise their eyebrow at that, but God wants us to love our families, and America is our family. So, Kathy, thanks for that. God bless you for doing that. Let's go to Helen in Texas. Good morning, Helen.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning. I was just going to share what I did on the 4th of July. That was so rude of them to say that we were just sitting around being gluttonous. Some time ago, like on Flag Day, I went to the little cemetery in our little town of Livingston and saw quite a few Civil War monuments that were so moldy and ugly, I began cleaning them. And so on the 4th of July, I went back and I tied white balloons around the Civil War monuments and our headstones and the World War One and World War Two. On Flag Day, I had already put flags out for them.
Helen, can I ask you a rude question? Do you mind if I ask you a rude question? How old are you?
Rude. I'll be 80 next year.
So you remember what it's like.
I met you at the Cove, and you gave me such an encouraging word, and I thank you.
Well, my pleasure, Helen. And, man, look at the encouragement you've been this morning. That is just an absolutely beautiful gesture and so meaningful. And you have exampled, again, for our children and grandchildren something. Man, keeping the banner going. And so God bless you, Helen, and hope to see you again at some other event. Take care of yourself, okay? All right, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, you guys are something. I'd love to take all of your calls on this, but we're going to have to move on. I'm going to open the phone lines again about something else, so just stay tuned. You guys are the best. I'll be right back. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
So what would you do with an extra $500 a month in your budget? $500. This isn't hypothetical, by the way. This is something you may need to think about very soon if you decide to become a member of MediShare. MediShare is a way to pay for your health care, and typically it costs $500 less per month for a family versus other health care plans. So seriously, think about this. You could pay off loans, pay down a mortgage, save the money for retirement, donate to charity. That would be a big deal. But you know what? Here's the best thing. MediShare works. It has 250,000 members, and it's growing fast. With MediShare, not only do you save, you don't have to pay for things you don't believe in either, and that is a beautiful thing too. So here's how you can find out more, and you might actually wind up saving even more than $500 a month. So check into it. Here's the number. Call 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23, now available in Montana. 855-PSALM-23.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, president of Life Issues Institute.
A California coroner ordered an investigation into the troubling death of an 8-year-old disabled child. The boy's father found him head down in an operating washing machine and suffering from cardiac arrest. However, the paramedics revived him. Later, after the boy was taken off life support, he gasped for air, and it's reported an anesthesiologist gave him a large dose of fentanyl for the purpose of causing his death. The nurse investigating the case said the boy's life was shortened to accommodate harvesting his organs before they deteriorated. Evidence shows this has happened before. We have documentation showing built-in financial incentives to harvest organs for supplying a high demand. Visit lifeissues.org and click on the microphone icon for more information.
Follow us on Twitter at lifeissuesusa and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with this Fox News and commentary next.
Truett McConnell University.
My name is Caitlin Bird. I'm a nursing major and I'm a junior. The School of Nursing here at TMU, it's different than any other, you know, university or college out there. Every time we come into class, no matter which nursing professor it is, we always begin in devotion and prayer, and we become a family. They actually allow the students to get up and do devotion and prayer. We pray with each other and for each other, and that's just what sets us apart from any other school of nursing out there.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu today.
The Tennis family has been farming in Michigan for generations. They grow all sorts of stuff at Country Mill Farm, apples, blueberries, sweet corn. And for the past 7 years, they've sold their produce at the farmers market in East Lansing. But this year, the Tennis family has been banned. It's not because of their produce, it's because of their religious beliefs. They happen to be devout members of the Catholic Church. They believe marriage is between one man and one woman. As a result of that belief, the Tennis family does not allow same-sex wedding ceremonies at the family farm. And that violates city law, meaning no more organic apples at the East Lansing Farmers Market. Alliance Defending Freedom filed a federal lawsuit against the city, accusing them of violating the First Amendment. And the city better get ready, because Alliance Defending Freedom is about to shuck it to the cob. I'm Todd Starnes.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
All right, I'm breaking my rule because I want to talk to Jamie in Georgia, and you'll see why. Jamie, you're trying to tell me you didn't just spend your fourth eating hot dogs and expressing your gluttony. What did you do, Jamie? I got to go to Jamie before he can actually tell me that. Sorry about that, Jamie.
Oh.
Sorry about that. That was fault. I was chatting away and I forgot to push your button. Okay, so you work at the fire department?
Yes, ma'am. And we actually did eat pretty good yesterday. We got to grill some chicken, but we were working at the fire station yesterday. And I'm not, fishing for praise or anything here. I just wanted to give a shout out and a thank you to everyone who worked yesterday to make our great country run safely. I actually got to go out and patrol on our local lake here and make sure that everybody was having a good time safely yesterday. And the fireworks were incredible. But it reminded me, the fireworks reminded me of our national anthem says, the rocket's red glare and those bombs bursting in the air, all the military that fight so hard for us and have fought so hard for our freedom. I think that's what we should remember when we see the awesome fireworks display. So anyway, thank you for what you do. Thank you for everybody else that was working hard yesterday. We had a great day and everybody went home safe. So,
well, Jamie, that's great. That's what, you know, that's what policemen and firemen do. They have a heart to help people. You guys are wired very differently. You lay it all on the line, not every day because you're not called to every day, but you're ready every day. And so when the time comes, you know, you do it. And so we're so grateful. You know, I was just thinking, I watched, Bruce and I, my husband and I watched The Patriot with Mel Gibson, which is a really bloody movie, by the way, a warning. But what a powerful movie. And in the midst of all the loss, the death and destruction, it was just, it does not put a soft lens on war at all. But in a very dramatic moment, after some, I think it was Mel Gibson who lost his second son, his friend said to him, stay the course, stay the course. And I think, Jamie, that's probably a good word for all of us, don't you? We know that there's trouble. We know there's trouble. But let's stay the course and just continue to fight this fight. You know, that's what our founding fathers did. Man, they did not give up easily. We'd never have a country if they had been as quick to say, oh, well, as maybe some of us have been. Not you, Jamie, because I know you're in there fighting all the time. So are all our military members. They've signed up. They know the dangers, and we do thank them. And so,
that's right.
Yeah. Jamie, God bless you. And you should go watch The Patriot. Just don't let your wife and kids see it. It's kind of bloody.
That's one of my favorites. I might do that. Thank you.
Yeah, okay. All right. Talk to you soon. All right. Well, you know, speaking of the rocket's red glare, over the weekend, some serious, July 4th, something very serious happened. And I'll let Kevin Cork tell you a little bit about it. Here he is.
A dramatic day here at the White House. Senior Trump administration officials said to be considering their options in dealing with North Korea in response to that provocation. This is very interesting, in particular when you consider the administration has long talked about what it might do should North Korea finally be able to reach U.S. soil. And of course, now they're looking for a true response to the latest missile provocation from Pyongyang. It was a historic first for the rogue regime. For a little more than a half an hour, an intercontinental ballistic missile fired from North Korea blasted across the Asian sky before coming down in the Sea of Japan, a 568-mile-long journey that could go much farther in shaping future U.S. policy in the region. That launch, tracked by NORAD and U.S. Pacific Command, took to the sky at approximately 2:40 p.m. Hawaii time July 3rd and initially was deemed not to pose a threat to North America, but further analysis suggests that with a possible range of some 4,000 miles, a similar launch could potentially strike Alaska. Also, for the first time, the North used a mobile launcher, making it much more difficult for the U.S. to track and disrupt future tests.
This is probably the toughest national security issue we face today. Negotiation is always an option, but I've seen no signs that they're willing to come to the table. I mean, just look at what they did to Otto Warmbier. I mean, this is a regime that is not acting in a way that would lead to diplomacy.
Reaction from the commander-in-chief initially coming by way of Twitter, with the president writing, North Korea has just launched another missile. Does this guy have anything better to do with his life? Hard to believe that South Korea and Japan will put up with this much longer. Perhaps China will put a heavy move on North Korea and end this nonsense once and for all.
All right, that's just a bit of Kevin's report, but it's enough that you get the point. It looks as though the North Koreans have launched this ballistic weapon. And it has to be confirmed, but it has been confirmed to some extent. I mean, there's reason to be very concerned. And here's the thing. They want to launch a nuclear weapon on that ballistic missile. That's the whole point. And they're trying to reach the United States. And they launched it on July 4th on purpose. We are their target. We are their goal. Certainly South Korea and Japan are also in danger there. Not China. You know, China is the economy pumping up North Korea. They're the only ones doing business with them. So it's a very serious situation. And when it comes to trying to decide what's real news and what's fake news, trust me, this is real news, and this is what our media sources should be concerned with. Rather than that, though, there are other things occupying them, like a tweet from the President of the United States. Now, the President, since I was live with you here at the mic, certainly tweeted some things I would wish he had never tweeted about Joe and Mika Scarborough, the engaged couple, you know, with a lot of cloud over that relationship, but That's beside the point, but I think Donald Trump knows a lot about that. They have, you know, completely defamed him on their show, called him an idiot, all kinds of things, and he'd had enough, and so he lashed out. And what he said was, you know, maybe cringe. I don't like what he said. I don't like that personal attack, for sure. And then following on the heels of that, he tweeted another tweet. I think it was Sunday or Saturday. And this one to me is a little different. Well, you know what? Before I tell you what it actually is, I'm going to play the reaction from the so-called pundits, because this is what they're concerned about. It is President Trump's tweet. This is what has their knickers in a knot. Let's listen. It's clip 11.
He's sending a message that this kind of violence is okay, and that the media are an okay target for violence.
It is an incitement to violence. He is going to get somebody killed in the media. There's way too many unstable people out in the streets right now at this time of impassioned and heightened passions.
There are people out there who will, you know, unhinged, irrational, who take these messages, internalize them, and may act on them.
Okay, so what is it that he tweeted? Well, this is the thing. He tweeted a video that had been slightly altered by an editor at Reddit, or a writer, or some contributor to Reddit, that showed a clip from Donald Trump back in 2007. It was the World Wrestling, WWE Wrestling Battle of Billionaires match. The CEO is Vince McMahon. And Donald Trump and Vince McMahon chose wrestlers to go into the ring to represent each of them. The idea was they were to wrestle against each other. And, you know, this whole thing is staged. Donald Trump won. His wrestler won. So he goes over to Vince McMahon. And they I don't know if it's actually Donald Trump, but they feign that they're fighting and he's hitting the person. And it's really, I'm going to come back to the actual video in just a second. But what the person had done was put a CNN block on the head of Vince McMahon. So it looked like Donald Trump was beating up CNN. But of course, it's wrestling style. It's the silly, over-the-top spoof wrestling. But based on that, they are saying that Donald Trump is inciting violence. He's inciting violence. You know, I personally don't like wrestling. I certainly don't like fake wrestling. Wrestling, my son was a wrestler. That's different than this WWE wrestling. I think you know that, right? It's kind of silly. It's over the top. It's acting. It's pretending like you're hurting people. It's shouting or a lot of bluster. You know, not my scene. But it is kind of, it's not real, folks. It's not real. So the president posts this and the media is going apoplectic. Donald Trump is inciting violence on CNN. In fact, clip 12, we have another, Brian Seltzer of CNN. I had more to say. Let's listen.
So he is talking about violence against CNN. He's not saying go out and beat someone up, but he's publishing this video that models the behavior. I asked Twitter PR about an hour ago, what is this? Is this a violation of Twitter's terms of service? We have reporters asking that question. We've not heard back from Twitter. But keep in mind, the terms of service, they do forbid incitement to violence or harassment.
Okay, So this is incitement to violence. You have to see it. I mean, I don't like it. I think it's inappropriate. I think it's undignified. But it's silly. It's over the top. It's certainly not inciting violence unless you think that the WWE is inciting violence every time they broadcast on television. Maybe you do think that. I would say that probably the pajama boys who populate the media are, you know, they are scared because they don't know anything about that kind of world where men actually, you know, do physical things to each other, even in jest. So it's shocking to them, I guess. And I watched the original video, the whole thing, well, the whole clip from that particular match with Vince McMahon, and it shows, it's funny. Again, I would not be watching this, except that I just kind of had to see the context. So Vince McMahon and Donald Trump are marching around the outside of the rink. This is like 2007. And they're both blustering, and the announcer's blustering about, this is not what Donald Trump is used to. This is not the business world. And these two wrestlers are wrestling on their behalf, representing them. And so then Donald Trump comes around the ring, and he jumps on Vince McMahon, and they act like they're fighting. And it's as though Donald Trump beat him, And Vince McMahon jumps up. He's all upset. So then fast forward, Donald Trump's wrestler beats Vince McMahon's wrestler. So they go into the rink, Vince McMahon sitting in a seat, and they tie him down to these big burly wrestlers, tie his hands down, and they proceed to cut, to shave his head. He's got beautiful hair, and they shave it, right? And he's crying, like, please don't shave me. This is not real, by the way. I mean, they are actually shaving his head, but I'm sure Vince is cooperating since he's the CEO, and they're having, you know, Donald Trump is shaving his head, and then they come out with razors, they put a shaving cream on his head, and they shave it completely. This is the context of this video. So I actually, on my Twitter account yesterday, I said, you know, Donald Trump encouraging the violent haircutting and shaving of CNN reporters. You know, it's really in that theme. It's tongue-in-cheek. You have to see it. We should put, actually, that whole clip on our Facebook page so that you can see the context. Again, I wish the president hadn't tweeted that. I wish he hadn't tweeted the thing about Mika. But he did. But I don't think it's inciting violence unless it's just two pajama boys who don't have any context or sense of humor about WrestleMania. All right, so that's the, but now here's the serious part about this from my perspective. The guy that actually created the video, at least in part, was this guy who posts on Reddit. And initially, he said he was very proud that the president had, he was laughing, couldn't believe that the president had used it. So CNN went after him with a vengeance to find out who he was. They found out who he was, and he issued this long apology yesterday for the video. I can't read you his fake name even because it's kind of a crass, so I'm not going to. But they don't, they're not printing his real name. So it describes him as tweeting some racist and anti-Semitic imagery. So now he's apologizing. Let's see. He posted his apology and deleted all of his other posts. And then it says, this is a CNN posting. CNN is not publishing this guy's name because he's a private citizen who has issued an extensive statement of apology. Showed his remorse by saying he has taken down all his offending posts and because he is not going to repeat this ugly behavior on social media again. They're not going to reveal his identity. But then it says, CNN reserves the right to publish his identity should any of that change. And you should hear the guy's apology. I thought it was in this. Let me go back to the... He just bends over backwards. I can't even find where... He goes to this link. Oh, I'm so sorry. Here he goes. First of all, I would like to apologize to the members of the Reddit community for getting this site and this sub-embroiled in a controversy that should never have happened. I would also like to apologize for the posts made that were racist, bigoted, and anti-Semitic. I am in no way this kind of person. I love and accept people of all walks of life and have done so for my entire life. I am not the person that the media portrays me to be in real life. I was trolling and posting things to get a reaction. I would never support any kind of violence or actions against others simply for what they believe in, their religion, or the lifestyle they choose to have, nor would I carry out any violence against anyone based upon that or support anyone who did. And he goes on, and I mean, it's just, pleading. So then CNN's response is, all right, he issued an apology, and then this news article, what word did they use? Ugly behavior. This is the news article. This ugly behavior on social media. Now, I have no idea what his other posts are, so I can't say if I think it was ugly behavior. But knowing CNN's position on things and knowing how easily people are accused of hate-filled ranting about Islam and other things, I until I see it, I can't really make that judgment. But the thing of it is, here they are in this post. CNN reserves the right to publish his identity should any of that change. So, ladies and gentlemen, that to me is the most serious part about this. It's the loss of free expression. They're trying to see if Donald Trump has, if Twitter can kick him off because he threatened violence in this ridiculously over-the-top WEE mock video. That to me is the danger, that there's no sense of humor. And I do wish the president would not tweet those kinds of things, but I'm going to tell you about a tweet he did tweet. That was very, very good. Stay tuned. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
But they became futile in their thinking. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Corner. The University of Michigan adopted a new policy allowing students to choose their preferred pronouns, including the sex-neutral they and they, to appear on class rosters. To highlight the absolute absurdity of this policy, one student listed his preferred pronoun as Your Majesty, and it worked. He tweeted, "I henceforth shall be referred to as His Majesty Grant Strobel. I encourage all UM students to go on to Wolverine Access and insert the identity of their dreams." This is hilarious and sad at the same time. When you extend this ridiculous logic to its obvious consequences, you can see the logic's frailty. Facts or feelings, which will govern?
Visit the Hamilton Corner on the podcast page at AFR.net for more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Hi, this is Ray Comfort. What can I say about American Family Association? They're a voice in the wilderness that's not afraid of the king, a burning and a shining light in a world that's becoming darker and darker. May God bless this wonderful organization of faithful Christians who've given their time and energies to further the kingdom of God. Congratulations, American Family Association, on 40 years of faithfulness. I pray that God will give you an even stronger voice in the future to make an eternal difference for millions.
Hey, sweet family, this is Lauren from Living Life with Lauren, and it's my heart's desire to be salt and light, just as Jesus instructed his followers to be. I want us to help one another along the way as we face challenges of this life, but going through it together sure does make the road easier, doesn't it? I want to thank you for listening, downloading our podcast, and connecting with me on Facebook at Living Life with Lauren. This is your invitation to join me Saturday evenings at 8 Central Time for laughter and tears right here on American Family Radio.
Hi, this is Dan Celia from Financial Issues. You know, the charitable gift annuity concept is more important today than probably ever. It is something that you have heard me talk about for many, many years. And right now, for now, the tax code is still allowing charitable organizations to establish a charitable gift annuity so that you can be guaranteed permanent income for the rest of your life. Don't waste any time. So many of you have IRAs, 401k money. Peel off a piece of that. Establish your charitable gift annuity so that you have a portion of permanent income that you know is never going to change for the rest of your life. Would you do it today? Call AFA Foundation, 800-326-4543. Extension 345. That's 800-326-4543. Extension 345.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. One of history's hardest lessons is that dangerous threats get worse over time. That certainly has been true of the menace posed by the dynastic Kim dictatorship in North Korea. Yesterday, the ability of North Korea's current tyrant, Kim Jong-un, to attack this country became more palpably alarming. The ballistic missile he tested as an in-your-face 4th of July display is believed to be capable of delivering a nuclear weapon over intercontinental ranges. Even without such a missile, however, the North has acquired the means to destroy the United States by detonating such a weapon in space, perhaps aboard one of their orbiting satellites, unleashing devastating electromagnetic pulses capable of taking out our electric grid and country. We no longer have the luxury of ignoring such threats or hoping someone else will save us from them. Kim's regime must go. This is Frank Affney.
Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
11-month-old Charlie Gard was born with an extremely rare genetic disease, mitochondrial depletion syndrome. His brain is damaged and he is currently on life support. Now, doctors and lawyers, against the wishes of his parents, who want to spend as much time with him as possible, have said it's time to switch it off and let him die.
The reality is that Charlie can't see, he can't hear, he can't move, he can't cry, he can't swallow.
His parents fought all the way to the European Court of Human Rights after British courts ruled against them.
Permission to appeal must be refused.
Last week, his parents, who have raised $1.7 million towards Charlie's case, lost another bid, this time to take him to the US for experimental therapy. after judges ruled that continued treatment would cause significant harm to Charlie. Their lawyer responded.
Connie and Chris are facing every parent's worst nightmare. They're struggling to understand why the court has not at least given Charlie the chance of treatment in America. The medical evidence is complex and the treatment offered potentially groundbreaking.
Now, President Trump has also weighed in after members of his administration spoke to the parents. Yesterday, he tweeted this. If we can help little Charlie Gard, as per our friends in the UK and the Pope, we would be delighted to do so. The Vatican also intervened, with Pope Francis praying the hospital allows Charlie's parents to accompany and treat their child until the end. The case has reminded many of Terry Schiavo, the right to die legal case in Florida, which pitted family against courts. Today, her brother released a statement saying, Charlie Gard's life is more valuable than British and European bureaucrats realize. This is a tragic ethical and legal issue, which pits on one side medical institutions and courts against Charlie Gard's parents and their wishes on another. And it's also a topic which divides whole nations.
That was Benjamin Hall, Fox News. That just breaks my heart when I hear that. This baby, 10 months old, his parents have raised enough money to bring him to the United States. Evidently, there is some experimental thing that they think they can work, at least want to try, and they have the money to do it. But the British and the European Union courts are forbidding. Now, it's probably the European Union Human Rights Commission because Britain is still part, you know, of the European Union, subject to their rules. It could be that the British authorities may be sympathetic with the parents. I don't know. You know, I don't know what level. In that clip, you see a courtroom and you hear the mother crying out when the judge says it's denied. See, this is the part about socialized medicine. This is when government, big government, who is, you know, paying for medicine for everybody, that's compassionate, right? Everyone should be covered. Single payer is wonderful, says Bernie Sanders. The government should pay for everything, but then the government decides who gets what and when treatment should be given and when it should be not given. It doesn't care what parents think. Parents lose autonomy over their children. The government, the community gets to decide what happens to your children. You know, I was the mother of a severely disabled child. So at some level, I can certainly relate to this because you are hopeful. You love your children. It takes a while. It does, depending on the severity. And it doesn't even matter about the severity. When you realize your child is less than normal, it takes a long time to process that. And you would do. I remember my own father saying to me, I would spend every penny I had if it would help Sasha. And he meant it. My dad, who worked so hard 7 days a week for years saving his money, I would spend every penny I had. And you know, he would have done it if we could have found something. And so if the parents want to do that, if they've raised the money and there are doctors in this country who are willing to try to help this baby, why does the European Union care? Why do the British courts care? This is a travesty. And this, ladies and gentlemen, is our future. This is what death panels are all about. It may be metaphorical, maybe an actual death panel. The original Obamacare did have death panels, did have panels that would decide who got treatment and who didn't. This is a living color example of what happens when bureaucrats decide the fate of your family and your children. And yes, there are lots of similarities between this and Terry Schiavo. I will never forget that as long as I live. The parents begging to let her live, and she at least could smile and could communicate in some way her emotions. And this baby can't. But that's not that. I'm not saying his life isn't worth saving. I'm just saying Terry was even higher functioning. And her parents, her husband had moved on. He had another girl. He wasn't married to her. They were just living together. So he wanted Terry to die because that was kind of inconvenient. You can imagine it was heartbreaking for him, too. But the path that he chose was just wicked because he could have let her. He could have divorced her. He could have let her parents be the guardians. But no. And so the government in Florida decided, you know, Terry should die. So they starved her to death. Is that what you want? Is that what Bernie Sanders wants when they're talking about compassion on health care and how everyone should be covered, like every illegal immigrant that crosses the border should be covered with health insurance, which means that citizens who are our family, already our family, cannot get any kind of treatment on certain things because the dollars are drying up And we have to choose carefully who gets medicines, who gets surgeries, who gets treatment. That's what it means. And that reminds me, you know, and so I wanted to make this point that, of course, President Trump tweeted, if we can help little Charlie Gard, as per our friends in the UK, we would be delighted to do so. So that's also a tweet that President Trump tweeted out. And I would like to say that when the CNN and the other media outlets are, you know, going crazy over a tweet, it makes me remember the president that they absolutely adored, just adored, who didn't really tweet much, but did a lot, like lay the foundation for single-payer health care and death panels. He was all about that. I remember, I could talk to you for a long time. I remember a woman in a town hall with a mom who just had a pacemaker, and she asked him point blank before he was elected, under your health care plan, could my mom have gotten this pacemaker? And he said, well, you know, in his very charming way, because that's the thing that makes him wonderful is his charm, President Obama. It isn't actually his actions. They're not so charming, but his words are charming. His smile is charming. So they love him, but they can't stand President Trump because he tweets. Now, what he actually does is marvelous. You know, he sets about priorities that enhance and promote life. He sets about policies that preserve and protect our armed forces. He sets about policies that bring jobs back home and help the economy. He sets about priorities that shift, you know, America away from emphasizing things that are not the most important things, like LGBT rights. Not the most important things, just not. But the others, they love Obama because his priorities were all things LGBT, all things. Trust me, when he was a senator in Illinois, it was the same way. He didn't know what he felt about other things. He would vote present on all bills except for the ones that had to do with gay rights, promoting them, vile, explicit sex education in preschool, and abortion. He was all about, you know, fine, pressing, being able to kill babies after they were born alive after abortions. He was all in favor of that. That's what he actually did. But he smiled, and he was charming, and he didn't tweet much. So now we have a president that tweets sometimes carelessly, but sometimes really powerfully. And that's the man they hate. As I've said before, look at what a man does, not what he says. Look at what a man does, not what he says. And I would also add, with the President Obama that they adored, there are other things to consider. There was hordes, piles, insurmountable amounts of cash sneaked to the Iranians, our enemies, the ones who've laid the IEDs that have wounded so many of our soldiers. That president made sure they had tons of money so they could develop nuclear weapons. He did all kinds of side deals and pushed, with the help of some Republicans like Bob Corker, don't forget that, pushed through this Iran deal, which is very dangerous to us. But he smiled. He was charming. They were proud of him. He could sing soul music. Sounded like Al Green. He was great, you see. But he didn't tweet like this president. So, you know, I could go on, couldn't I? I could go on. So this is the situation we find ourselves in. We'll probably hear a lot more about they're thinking about taking the baby, Charlie Gard, off life support, and they're not going to let his parents take him home even to die at home. They're not even going to allow them to do that. I can't bear this. I tell you, it's horrendous. When God is removed from a culture, and in Europe, they are very much post-God. They're over it. They're evaluations and their views and their values are devoid of the influence of an almighty God who thinks life is precious and says, you better not take it. You better not take it. And I'm not talking about capital punishment. That's very different. But you better not take innocent blood for no reason. So that's the story. And then speaking of tweets, there was another one that came to my attention over the weekend. Attorney General Eric Holder, I think Hans von Spakovsky wrote a book called Obama's Enforcer, wrote a tweet. This is very interesting. I'll remember now. This is Eric Holder, who was the person who shepherded through the pardon of that criminal Mark Rich, who wanted to come back into the country, and President Clinton allowed him. So Eric Holder made that possible. This is the Attorney General held in contempt by Congress because he oversaw this program called Fast and Furious that got illegal guns into Mexico and caused the death of at least one Border Patrol agent, Brian Terry. This is the Attorney General that turned a blind eye to prosecuting the IRS when they were going after conservatives and people that disagreed with the president. That was fine with him. And you know what? There's such a long list of things that Eric Holder's done. I would be reciting them the rest of the show. But this particular Attorney General tweeted this over the weekend. To the career men and women at DOJ FBI, your actions and integrity will be unfairly questioned. Be prepared. Be strong. Duty. Honor. Country. Are you kidding me? Duty. Honor. He's leading the resist movement. Country? What country? The country that President Obama, for the new America, the one he talks about, our values, which are always LGBT rights, you know, that's our values, and killing babies, those are our rights. Is that the country Eric Holder's talking about? There's more to say about that, but I want you to see something else. Tom Fitton of Judicial Watch was on Fox over the weekend. If we have time, I think we do. Let's listen to this interaction with Leland Vitter.
You know, Mr. Goldstein may be a great guy, but now this is the 12th. My count is 14, 15 lawyers that have working on this one investigation to investigate what? An employment dispute between Comey and the president, Paul Manafort's filing of a document, or General Flynn's filing of a document, Foreign Agent Registrations Act. There's really no prosecution that can be gotten there since they did file the forms, however late. So I don't understand what this investigation is about. You have the conflicts caused by Comey leaking records to get Mueller appointed. You have constitutional concerns with the way the office operates.
Are you offering the president legal advice, public relations advice? I'm trying to figure out which category this falls into.
Well, I'm not a lawyer, so I'm not offering legal advice. If I were, I wouldn't be doing it over TV. But there are Twitter in this case. But in terms of government corruption and constitutionality, there are real concerns about the way the office is operating. You have all these Democrat donors. Are there any Trump donors on the team that Mr. Mueller has hired? And plus, you have this appointment of a special counsel who has no day-to-day supervision from a constitutional officer.
Isn't that the whole idea of a special counsel?
Well, you can't have an independent counsel, as people want to pretend. You have to have someone who's answerable to a constitutional officer, and it's really not here in any practical way. What other investigation in the Department of Justice, if note recently or currently, has 12 lawyers working on it?
But Tom, I'm trying to understand what your issue is. Your issue with the special counsel?
All right,
counsel,
I'm going to interrupt because we're going to run out of time. But Tom Fitton, Judicial Watch, is calling for this special counselor, Mueller, to step down. He's calling for the president to close that up. I'm in total agreement. And how does that have to do with this Eric Holder tweet? Here's the thing, tweet. I like that. Sorry, I made myself laugh. Eric Holder tweet. Oh, shame on me. There are all kinds of investigations coming after Susan Rice, after Director McCabe, who's under three different investigations for his misdeeds in the FBI. And that's why Eric Holder sent out this tweet. Your actions and integrity will be unfairly questioned. Be prepared, be strong, duty, honor, country, which is code for resist, so we can make the new America. That's what I think. And Tom is talking about the Mueller appointing 12 now attorneys, investigators, to bring down the president. It really is an amazing time, and we must stay the course. And we're going to, right? Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.